I have two titles for my sermon this morning. I couldn't quite work out what to call it, so you maybe call it what you want. Either Stand for Truth and Righteousness, or Conform or Transform. Two titles. Stand for Truth and Righteousness, or Conform or Transform. We said this many times. We sing songs. We read scripture, but do we actually know what we're singing? Do we actually believe what we're singing? Sang a song, "My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Does that act out in your life? If you stand for truth and righteousness, God can do amazing things. Amen? Amen? If you stand for truth and righteousness, God can do amazing things through you. Despite circumstances, situations, or how things look, God is in control. He was sovereign, He is sovereign, and He always will be sovereign. God is in control. And maybe some of you have come to church this morning and you've heard some of these testimonies. And yeah, you want to celebrate with them, but you just think, but why is this not happening for me? Why am I seem to be going through it? Why do I seem to be praying and not seeing things happen? I want to look at a character in the Bible who just shows us how to keep our eyes fixed on God. The character is Daniel. Daniel, when you say Daniel, instantly comes to mind Daniel in the lion's den or in the fiery furnace. And you think of the children's stories that we hear of. I want to look right at the beginning. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at Daniel and know that despite what is going on, if we stand for truth and righteousness, if we don't conform but be transformed, God can use us. Amen? Amen? Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. Okay, so let's just set the scene a bit. We have the chosen people. We have the promised land. The chosen people are in the promised land. All is good. Everything's looking good. And yet here, Daniel tells us, Jehoiakim is king of Judah, but yet Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. You know, there are times when you are in your life and you think you are in God's plan and you think nothing can touch you, nothing can harm you. And we stand on God's promises knowing that we fight because God is with us and he is our strength and he is our shield. But here it says in verse 2, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. The chosen people are in the promised land, and yet the Lord is giving over the land to the enemy. What's going on? There's times over the past few years where we have just been, God, what is going on? COVID, Brexit, the financial crisis, different health situations, energy bills and everything. What is going on? We think we're living as God has called us to do. But you see, here, God is a God who will keep his word. Amen? God will keep his word. You see, we read of stories of Moses and all that Moses does looking after the chosen people. The plagues, the sea parting and all those things that are happening. And yet they were told to get to the promised land, and yet here they're at the promised land and the Lord has delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hands. You see, when you go back to the prophet Jeremiah, he says for 23 years, this is Jeremiah 25:3, for 23 years, from the third year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. Jesus, God sent prophets to try and get the people to live right according to God's word. Again, Jeremiah 25:11, this whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. When God says he's going to do something, he will do it. God brought judgment on his own people because he said time and time again, I have told you to live according this way and you are still doing this. We have got to live according to God's word. Even though they are the chosen people in the promised land, God will bring about his word. He will make it happen. As a nation, they are under the punishment of God. Does that mean that you throw the towel in? Does that mean I'm in the promised land, but yet I've been seized. I'm now a captive with a nation that hates God. Does that mean we throw the towel in? When Brexit happens, when COVID happens, when things happen in life that we don't quite understand, do we throw the towel in? Well, hopefully, through what we're looking at with Daniel, you will see there are always two options. You can throw the towel in. God will want you to stand true on truth and righteousness. But God wants you to live according to what he wants you to live, according to scripture. It says the Lord delivered Jehoiakim into his hands. God is keeping his word. If he says something, he will keep it. What we do will determine how God can use us. What we do will determine how God can use us. So Daniel and his friends, along with some other chosen people, have now been chosen to serve the king. They've been taken back to Babylonia and been chosen. These people will be fed, they'll be trained, and they will learn the local culture, the language and literature of the Babylonians. In those days, they created a god in their own image. They often did it with statues and different things, didn't they? Today we don't learn. We create a god in our own minds, don't we? Well, my God would never do this. My God would never do this. But if it's not according to what Scripture says, then you've created a god in your own image. It's one of the oldest commandments, one of the oldest sins. Do not create a god in your own image. I'm amazed. I mentioned this in the growth group on Thursdays, we're looking at end times. It's the one thing, you imagine when Moses was at the bottom of Sinai and he's going up and he's talking with God. The very fingerprint, the handwriting of God in how to live. And what does Moses do? He comes down from the mountain and what have they done? They've created their own God. When God puts things in place, he expects us to follow it, not just because it's rules and regulations, but it's for our own good. Amen? I wonder whether there's times when God has told us something, as in being up the hill and then come back down and we're just pleasing ourselves. So Nebuchadnezzar now sought to assimilate the exiles into the Babylonian culture, training them for 3 years. Daniel and his friends have been trained. One of the things that he will want to do is get away from the God that they serve. Change their thought process. Change how they live. Notice that he said that he will, we've not read it, but I'm sure you're familiar with the story. He says that they will have the food from the king's table. To give them wine and food. Well, instantly, Daniel would have thought to himself, hang on a minute. Will they follow the customs, the rules that God has given us in preparing this food? And as we see in verse 8, it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. He decided, hang on a minute, I'm not even going to test it. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to defile myself. Tell you what, just give me veg and water. Just give me greens and water. And the chief guard says, hang on a minute. I am responsible. I will have to answer to the king. If you're weak and if you're feeble, I can't have that. You need to eat this. Daniel says, just give me 10 days. Just give me 10 days and I will prove to you that God is the source of my nourishment. God is the source of my life. And I will eat veg and I will drink water and I will prove my God to you. They came back and found him 10 times better than all the rest because they chose not to defile themselves with the king's food. Put it into perspective. You're told, you're asked to come and serve the king. And he says, you can even eat what I am going to eat. It's the best of food. There's no better food in the land. You can eat what I am eating. But Daniel says, if it doesn't go along with what God has told me to, I'm not bothered whether it's the best in the land. God will feed me. And there are times in life where we have to say the same, even though it looks amazing, even though you could have been promised the latest car in your promotion in work, you could have been promised the biggest pay rise ever. If it defiles you, step away, because there will be no blessing in it. Yeah, you may have the money. Yeah, you may have the car. But there'll be no blessing in it unless God says so. 3 years. You know, we pray and we tell you time and time again about coming to the prayer meeting and praying. 3 years of training he's been in here. 3 years of training, of serving the king. It doesn't tell us whether it ever really got back to Nebuchadnezzar as to whether Daniel and his friends are not eating the king's food. They could have just given it to the servants, but he's decided not to defile himself, and he's 10 times better than the rest. Daniel 1:18 says, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing what God can do? So put it into perspective again. They were in the promised land. They were the chosen people. But yeah, the Babylonians have come in, taken them away. Hang on, we're the chosen people. I have rights. You're not allowed to do this to me. Yeah, we can do that. Or we can serve God to the best of our ability in the position that we're put in. And that's what Daniel's doing. He says, I will serve God. Even if you don't agree with your boss, I'm not saying that you do wrong, but you serve him to the best of your ability because you are an example of Jesus Christ in your workplace. When you go to the shop, when you speak to the shopkeeper, you are an example of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. And that's exactly what Daniel wanted to do. I started by saying that God was sovereign. God is sovereign and God always will be sovereign, despite the circumstances. It's also important to know that God allows or appoints kings and queens and people in charge. It's important to know that. So whether we look at our king and think he shouldn't be there, God is still sovereign. Whatever country you're from, whatever ruler you have in your country, God is still sovereign. Then in chapter 2 of Daniel, we find that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that really troubles him to the point of losing sleep and demanding that somebody tells him what's going on. But he has such little faith in the people around him, the wise men, the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers, that he demands that they tell him the interpretation of the dream, but he won't even tell them what the dream is. Can you imagine it? You've got to tell me what this dream means, but I'm not going to tell you what the dream was. Well, how can we tell you what the dream means if we don't tell us what the dream was? Daniel 2:10 says, the astrologers answered the king. Bearing in mind the king said, if you don't tell me, if you don't tell me what the dream is and the interpretation of it is, I'm going to execute you all. Yeah? Daniel 2:10 says, the astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. I love this line. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods. And they do not live among men. How good is that line? How, they just haven't got a clue, have they? Haven't got a clue. The God who Daniel serves. The king is angry. You won't tell me what my dream is and what the interpretation of it is. Execute them all. The order went out, all of them, to be killed. Daniel hears about it as the commotion's going off. And he says, hang on a minute. Can I have the option of seeing the king and talking to the king and interpreting the king? Just remember the current situation of Daniel. Why would he do this? Ultimately, he was going to be executed. He comes with his friends. Bearing in mind, again, that Nebuchadnezzar has changed their names. So they're now not Daniel and the others. They're now Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's changed their names. Because not only does he want to assimilate them into Babylonian culture, he wants to get rid of their God. He wants to change everything about them to do away with God. Because that's what the world tries to do, isn't it? That's what the enemy tries to do. Give us a new identity. To tell us that we're no good. To tell us that you're useless. To tell us that we've got mental health and that's all we are. That we'll never amount up to anything. It's what the enemy tries to do. He'll always attack who you are. Execute them all, he says. Daniel says to the king, please, let me speak to my friends. Give us a bit of time to pray. Daniel 2:17, it says, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God, from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, hallelujah, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and light dwells within him. I thank and praise you, O God, my Father. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Don't tell me that prayer doesn't work. Don't tell me that you pray and God doesn't hear your prayers, because he hears every single one. He hears every single one. He sees every tear. Don't say that he cried, but put yourself in that position. I would be crying out to God. God, we're about to be killed. We're about to be executed. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed. Hallelujah. How amazing is that? If you're struggling to kind of come with us in this story, I encourage you, go home and read Daniel. It is an amazing book. He tells him the dream, what Nebuchadnezzar has dreamed, and then he gives him the interpretation of the dream. Praise God. Tells him of a large statue of different materials. Gold is the top. But ultimately saying that God is sovereign. There are many kingdoms, but there's only one kingdom that will rule and reign. There's only one kingdom. There's only one sat on the throne. You may for a time be sat on an earthly throne, but the throne of God will last forever. You can either stand for righteousness and truth, or you can follow the crowd. You can either conform to the patterns of the world or be transformed. Daniel 2:46, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. And the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him, He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Position, wherever you are in work, whether you are low down in position, mid or your top level, it's still about God. There's nothing wrong with being promoted through the ranks. There's nothing wrong with being in charge of a department or a business. But don't defile yourself. Do not defile yourself. Here, Daniel is promoted through the ranks to the entire province of Babylon. Not entirely sure of the time frame between this chapter and the next chapter, but we read in different portions of Kings and Jeremiah that Jerusalem had been sieged. Jerusalem's walls had been broken down. The Babylonians have destroyed Jerusalem, set fire to the temple and the palace. Daniel will have seen all this. Hang on a minute. This is the promised land with the chosen people. This can't be happening. You think this can't be God's plan. We can't be where God wants us to be. But he still chose not to defile himself. Nebuchadnezzar, thinking he is the best, thinking he is everything, look at what I have done. Look at what I can do. I've taken the promised land, the chosen people, we've trained them up, we're getting them to be like us. They're denying God. I'm sure some will have. God thinks he can challenge me with a dream of a statue. Is this what he was saying? I'll show him. So what does he do? He decides to make his own statue. Nebuchadnezzar decides to make his own statue. And he says, I tell you what, I'll make it bigger and better than the one that I dreamed of. I'll make it 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. It will be the biggest, the best, and people will worship me. They will get down on their knees. Whenever you hear the worship team playing, I'm ordering you all, get on your knees and worship. Get on your knees and worship me and my statue because of all I have done. What does Daniel and his friends do? They say, no chance. Absolutely not. The king even orders, if you do not worship, you'll be thrown straight into the fiery furnace. The threat of death again. You see that? It's the only thing that the enemy's got is to threaten us with death. It's the only thing he's got. Or the worst thing he thinks he's got. God is so much bigger. God is so much bigger. If we stand for truth and righteousness, if we do not conform, again, put it in today's society. King Charles is putting up a statue just in front of Buckingham Palace, 90 feet tall, covered in gold. And every time it comes on the news, every time, because they'll probably be able to send it to every phone, every time it beeps on your phone, you have to get down and worship this statue. Can you imagine it? That's just the modern thing now. I mean, what did they do with the COVID app that you had to do? You had to do as it told you. I understand it was for health reasons. But can you imagine if that happened? Every phone beeps, you've got to get down and worship. Would you conform? Would you conform and worship what the king of the land tells you to do? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego say, no chance. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves They've had the conversation. Nebuchadnezzar says, hang on a minute, you should be worshipping. Why aren't you worshipping? I've told you I'll throw you into the fiery furnace. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. The God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King. That's some faith, isn't it? But even if he doesn't, even if we burn instantly and are killed, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Are you going to conform or be transformed? Are we going to stand for righteousness? Daniel and his friends, probably a teenager when taken from the promised land, changed and transformed into the Babylonian culture. But he knew in his heart who he was serving, and he wouldn't allow it to be changed. The prophet Isaiah will have been about 90 years before and will have said these words, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got to stand on God's word. Amen. Despite what is going on, God's word is the solid foundation. God's word is the thing that will hold us fast. If you, I'm sure you know the story. Even the armed guards were burned up because the fire was so hot. But yet Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, not even the smell of smoke was on them when they came out. They weren't burned. The hair wasn't singed. They didn't even smell of smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in and thought, hang on a minute. I only threw three people in. There seems to be four. You see, even when you're in the fire, God is with you. Even when you're in the fire, God is with you. He will never leave you. Never forsake you. Hallelujah. What a story. Amazing. Think of it in today's society. I often challenge my girls to turn the notifications off on the phone. I challenge you as well, because we are slaves to our devices. And that is becoming a god in this day and age. It beeps, we pick it up. It beeps, we pick it up. It beeps, we look at it. Yes, I love devices. You know I do. I love technology. I love all that it can do. But my notifications are off. I'll look at it when I want to look at it. It will not control me. I am not a slave to an iPad or an iPhone or a Samsung or a whatever. I'm a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I will not defile myself with this world. And I challenge you all, don't allow your phone to be your God. Don't allow your work to be your God. Don't allow your stuff to be your God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods which are of no value to those who eat them. Finally, and we're going to go around the communion table. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Lord, help us. Help us to glorify you in all that we do. Help us to stand for truth and righteousness in a world that is ever-changing. In a world that is changing your word to suit themselves. Help us, Lord, so that we can glorify you. Amen.